The J-Files on Double J.
I'm just addicted to pop rock.
Crunchy guitars, soaring pop hooks, epic sing-along choruses. It's really hard not to love Weezer. Since their glorious debut in 1994, they've cemented their place as the nerds of rock and roll, and they made us feel like we could be cool too. And there's just something about the way Rivers Cuomo projects such depths of emotion in his vocals and lyrics, and yet keeps things upbeat at the same time. Hey, Gab Burke here, J-Files producer at Double J, and this is the Weezer J-Files podcast. And boy, have I got some absolute gems to share with you. Let's turn up the radio, turn off those stupid singing shows. In 2013, when Weezer finally came back to Australia, they dropped by Triple J for a chat.
Oh, get your buff. Gonna rough up your chuff in the morning.
The only other time they'd been to Australia was for Livid Festival in 1996. And get this, Richard Kingsmill managed to find this absolute nugget of an interview stored away in the depths of his epic archive.
I believe there's been some problem with the name of the album so far.
Only a slight snafu.
Plus, which is better, Pinkerton or the Blue Album? That's all still to come. But first, let's get into Rivers Cuomo's bespectacled brain and find out how he does it.
From day one, Weezer's been unashamed to do things that other people would be ashamed of, I'm sure. I just love great pop melodies and those emotional chord progressions, and I am totally unashamed of going for it. I love music, and I've listened to a lot of music, and I have the kind of brain that likes to analyze when I'm listening, and sometimes I take notes, but I found that even when I come up with a really cool point of observation and I think, whoa, this is an amazing trick, I'll use this, it really only works about once or twice, and then for some reason the magic is gone, and you have to go on and discover something new that's exciting. I've been a fan of pop music from the beginning. Just when that melody comes in and grabs at your heart and lifts you up and makes you want to sing along, or that killer beat makes you want to rock out, I'm just addicted to pop rock. And yeah, I have this other side that likes more sophisticated counterpoint or more development in music, and I've done a bit of studying in that, never to the point where I could call myself any kind of expert, but you'll occasionally hear that come out in Weezer's music. On the Red Album, we had a song called The Greatest Man That Ever Lived. Six-minute epic went through all these different stages in the song, and you'll hear that from time to time. I really enjoy it. But I keep coming back to the classic 3-minute, 3.5-minute pop jam.
That's Rivers talking to Triple J there in 2009. My name is Jonas. I'm carrying the wheel. So, from the outside, Weezer is a hugely successful band. But when you dig deeper, it becomes clear they're a band with a tumultuous relationship with fans and critics alike. 1994's The Blue Album and the follow-up Pinkerton are revered as the glory days of the band, and everything since then is terrible, apparently. But that doesn't match up with the music charts. The Green Album, Maladroit, Make Believe, the Red Album, Ratitude, Hurley, and Everything Will Be Alright all reach single digits on the American music charts, and 2016's The White Album even clocked in at number one. Plus, there were even a few Grammy nominations in there too. So there's this weird love-hate relationship going on with the band. The fans of their older stuff either hate their newer stuff, or they just go along with it because of their emotional connection to the good old days. Or Weezer has managed to keep reinventing itself and continues to bring along new fans with each new release. Either way, it's pretty impressive. You know what else is impressive? Commandeering a cruise ship, bringing along a bunch of musical friends and inviting fans to sail the ocean with you. Yeah, you heard that right. The Weezer Cruise.
You know, the people were kind. They were nice.
And it never got...
They're friendly.
Never got awkward or anything.
No, I never did get... I wish it got a little more awkward, actually. It was kind of chill. We'd hang out, we'd take some pictures, walk around. I mean, you couldn't turn a corner without seeing one of your old Weezer pals.
Did Rivers take off his captain's hat at all for the entire duration of the cruise?
Only in
only when
my
we met
cabin.
The captain, because he's like, oh, he can't really be the captain.
So, what was it like? Mega fan Nick from Newcastle and his wife went on the Weezer cruise for their honeymoon.
It was just surreal, you know. I just thought it would be like any normal gig, but I was deadly wrong, you know. Sat on a boat and there's Weezer playing That Ain't So while you're sucking a cocktail and sitting in this hot tub. It doesn't happen every day, you know. They walked on stage and they literally went toot toot. The boat just sailed out, and as they went out, Weezer cranked into Holiday, which was obviously quite sick. And away they went, and they played a greatest hit set, and then came off, and then for their encore, they just happened to play a small unknown album called The Blue Album.
That amazing chat with Kingsmill backstage at Livid Festival in 1996 is still to come. But you know how I said The Blue Album and Pinkerton are considered to be Weezer's best albums? I'm a nine like you, so please, hello, I'm here, I'm waiting. Well, it wasn't always the case. Pinkerton was the follow-up to the hugely successful Blue Album, and it bombed big time. It confused a lot of people. For a start, it was a drastic shift in their sound. But there was also Rivers' intense oversharing of his own neuroses, which came off as awkward and immature. Let's just say it tanked. It was his one big regret for years after its release. And then, weirdly, it had a renaissance in the 2000s and it became a cult hit. So much so that in 2010, Weezer started off a bunch of shows where they'd play Pinkerton and the Blue Album in their entirety. Rivers and Scott told The Doctor on Triple J back in 2012 what it was like to play those shows.
Oh, it's so great. The first time we did it, I was practically in tears, because when we first toured those albums in 94, 95, 96, especially Pinkerton, a lot of the fans at that time didn't even really know that album, didn't care about it. It was just people coming to see Weezer for the first time, checking us out. And it was pretty discouraging. Now, years later, we played Pinkerton front to back, and every person out of, I don't know, 6,000-8,000 people in the room were singing every single word. And for me as a songwriter, that is the greatest feeling in the world.
And Scott, when Weezer went back to do those two albums, they were two of the three, I think, that you didn't play on. Did you have to learn bass bits and backing vocals and stuff?
You know, I think I had already known every song, so it really wasn't that much work. But I did feel a lot of pressure to go through the stuff and try to make sure I was playing it correctly, you know, to pay the proper respect.
So what is it about these two albums?
Hey, I'm Lauren from Warrnambool, and the Blue album by Weezer would have to be my favourite of theirs. I can recall being about 14 and hearing Undone, the Sweater song, played on a cassette tape by my older brother, and just from that moment on, just getting into it. It's just such an easy album you can listen to from start to finish and love every track off it. I've got Dungeon Master's Guide.
I've got 12-sided die. G'day, my name's Lindsay from Newcastle. The reason why I love the Blue album so much is because it's funny, original, and, you know, 22 years later, it's still one of my favourite time machines to go into.
I'm Tim from Wodonga. Weezer's Blue album to me is like visiting an old friend. It's one of the albums that helped me survive high school, which is probably why it still has such a huge impact on me today. It's my go-to album when I can't decide on what to listen to. My favourite track on the album is Say It Ain't So. I reckon the film clip is amazing and I could listen to the song for days.
Hi, this is Sam Shinasi from Sydney. I love all the Weezer albums, but Pinkerton is easily my favourite. I love the angst and energy each song contains. Rivers sounds like he's got a broken head and a broken heart.
This is Chris from Melbourne. Whenever I think of Weezer, I first think of Pinkerton. You've either enjoyed it at basic fun level, or when looked at in depth, you find a surprisingly multi-layered recording. Unloved at the time of release, God knows why, Pinkerton was a favourite of mine from the moment it first entered my world in 1996.
G'day, Sam from Yeronga here. Pinkerton is the true gem of Weezer's career. With a lot of the humour of the first album, often self-deprecating, and some awkward or potentially questionable concepts. I'm sorry for what I did. I did what my body told me to. I didn't. Cuomo comes across as the anti-hero trying to balance his personal life with his rapidly elevated role of rock idolisation. This time, when he sings about being undone, you really believe he means it.
And speaking of Pinkerton, the band nearly got sued for releasing the album. That's in that chat Kingsmill had backstage at Livid in 1996, and it's just around the corner. But in 2013, they toured Australia, and they dropped into Triple J for a chat with Tom and Alex, and it was so great.
Hat and Scott, good morning. Welcome to Australia. Welcome to Triple J.
Hello. Good morning. Hello.
Thank you.
In the morning to you.
Yes.
Yeah, there it is. We should say, Pat Butter Wilson, is this a nickname for your Australasian tour? Your voice is very dulcet this morning.
Mm.
These are the dulcet and mellifluous tones of Patrick Wilson.
Oh, shit. Okay.
I tell you what, this is the third year we've been doing this job.
Butter
no
Wilson.
One has used mellifluous yet.
Thank you.
You've okay. got your pot condiment then. Scott, what's yours? Marmalade?
I got the voice of kind of like a grandfather in a uncle's body. So I'm your worst nightmare, pretty much.
Yeah, that sounds like a horrible nightmare.
Hey, but you know what? When it comes time to sing those Weezer songs, I'm right there, man.
Great news. Okay. Scott Uncle Grandpa Schreiner with
Thank
us this
you.
Morning.
I was born a grandfather.
Hey, welcome back to Australia. 16 years since you were in the country touring about the place with your musics.
I was 8 years old when that happened, boys, and I missed the tour at that stage. Mm. Please tell us what happened 16 years ago.
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't really remember.
Back there. You were touring with Custard and the Fauves back then. Do you remember those shows?
I sure don't.
Beautiful. We just played the track Memories. Beautiful.
Okay.
Beautiful.
Do you remember your Brisbane show
Memories.
On Sunday night?
Wish I had some.
You kicked off the show in Brisbane on Sunday night. We had lots of people calling into the show on Monday morning saying they loved it. And, you know, playing that record, the Blue record from 1994 in full. What's it like for you, Pat? You were there for the recording of that originally. What is it like to perform these songs live on stage again in front of fans who have been waiting for it for so long?
Well, I'm stoked to be here. I mean, I love coming over here and it's just fun to play no matter where we are, but I'm super pleased to be back here.
Is it true you guys walk out to the A-Team theme?
We have done that, yes.
Whose idea was that?
I mean, what's not to like?
Yeah.
I mean, that's motivation right there. We're men on a mission, so that's
like
suiting.
I got a chub now.
Better than a chub.
Do you prefer to perform with a chub on stage? Do you find that it makes you play better?
We've also figured out the term chuff.
Okay, what's chuff?
Listen. Next question.
No, come on, we're liberal-minded on, here at Triple J. The adults. Australian youth, they don't care
working,
what you
We're
say.
Working on a new song yesterday. It was something about, I'm going to get you in the buff and then rough up your chuff. It was pretty much, we come up with great songs in the van on the way to the hotel.
Do you start with a chord progression or you start go straight for the chuff? Is that the starting point?
Do you work backwards from that? What's the order? How does it... This is the worst.
The way we do it is we go right for the chuff.
There's no foreplay with music at all.
It's just rough up that chuff. That's how you guys like it, just from what I hear.
Get your buff. Gonna rough up your chuff in the morning.
So, why did Weezer nearly get sued for releasing Pinkerton? Let's head backstage at Livid Festival in 1996.
Brian Bell is the guitarist with Weezer, and Pinkerton is their new album. We've been playing it a bit on Triple J, and I believe there's been some problem with the name of the album so far.
Only a slight snafu. The day it came out, which was Tuesday, the 24th of September, we had this huge in-store Tower record. It was actually out of store. It was in the parking lot show for my hometown, Los Angeles. This is the debut of the record. Comes out. I come to the record label that morning, all just totally stoked out of my mind, and everybody looks like somebody just died. I'm like, hey, I'm trying to like going, let's get out there. Let's go. Let's go down to Tower. This is gonna be fun. Hey, blah, blah. And they're like, we're getting sued by Pinkerton, and we cannot say the name on stage today. And when I get there, there's these official-looking government people with clipboards and slick back hair and mirror sunglasses reading these injunctions that if I'll be in big trouble, basically, if I say the name Pinkerton on stage. And they had a huge backdrop of the record cover behind the stage with a gigantic K-Rock sticker covering the word Pinkerton. So,
and just tell us for us here in Australia, what is actually Pinkerton in the States?
Oh, Pinkerton in the States is an insurance company that has been around since they say the 1800s, which we've never even heard of. The only time I've ever even seen the name Pinkerton, other than the context we used it in, was going to the studio out in North Hollywood one afternoon. We were doing some overdubs for the Pinkerton record. I looked over my left shoulder, and there's this gigantic building I've never seen in my life out of the 10 years I lived in Los Angeles that said Pinkerton on the top of it. And I almost had a wreck, thinking, well, that must be a sign. That must be great things. That means the album's going to do wonderful.
And they didn't really want to go for a ride with you and think that it might be good publicity for them as well?
You know, maybe that's what they're going to try now, since they went to court on the Thursday following Tuesday, the release of the record, and the judge threw out the case thinking it was one of the most ridiculous things he's ever heard of.
Oh, so you can keep it?
As far as we know, yes. But just to be safe, I'm telling everyone to go out and buy at least 3 or 4 copies because you never know.
Collector's copy coming up.
Collector's copy.
That must be so disheartening. That must have been a real bummer for the party.
Yeah, it was a bummer for the party, but it's there on record, and they printed up about 500,000 with Pinkerton on it, so...
Well, album number 3, you'll maybe check it a little more carefully, won't you?
Definitely.
Richard Kingsmill with Brian Bell. And just a sneaky side note, that's Everclear playing in the background. All right, that's it from me. Head to doublej.net.au to read Steve Bell's amazing article about Weezer. And what's on the J-Files next week?
Fight the power! Fight the power!
I'm Gab Burke. Catch you later.
The J-Files.